Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you happen to be, wherever you are traveling. We are glad to have you tuning in, and we just ask that you would prepare your heart and your mind for the word that you are to receive today as we listen to this morning's anthem, Precious Lord, Lead Me Home.
Our scripture text this morning comes from Genesis 21, verses 1 through 21. Listen for the word of God. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. And when his son was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah could nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. The child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw the son whom Hagar, the Egyptian, had borne to Abraham, was mocking, and she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son, But God said to him, "Do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you to do, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is also your offspring." So early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar, and he set them on her shoulders and sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered into the desert of Beersheba. But when the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down about a bowshot away and said, "I cannot watch the boy die." And as she sat there, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert, and he became an archer. And while he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God of mountaintops and deep valleys, of wilderness places and grass beside still waters, we have come this morning needing to hear your word. Scripture promises that you see us and hear us wherever we are. And when we are lost, you come and find us. We thank you, God, for this good news. This morning, I pray that you might pour through me the gift of preaching, that by some miracle of your grace, these ordinary words might become tailor-made for each and every one of us, that they might reach us in our place of deepest need. And we know that they will, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was assigned this text, I have to admit, I wondered, why have I never, ever heard a sermon on Hagar and Ishmael before? One commentary called this text difficult. Another called it problematic. And Professor Phyllis Tribble of Princeton University called it one of the four texts of terror in the Bible. Dolores Williams warns, today we're going to hear about infertility, slavery, surrogacy, poverty, exploitation, desperation, runaways, homelessness, single parenting, and radical encounters with God. So where should we begin? I think the only place to start is to back up a little and work our way into the story. We know that God has promised a child to Abram and Sarah, two people who were way past the childbearing age. Abraham was said to be 100 years old, and Sarah was said to be 90. God said their descendants would be more plentiful than the stars in the sky. Sarah thought this was rather funny. In fact, she laughed out loud. Years passed, 10 more years to be exact. Still no baby. Sarah and Abram begin to doubt that God will fulfill God's end of the deal. So Sarah decides to take matters into her own hands. And I'm going to read just a little piece from Genesis 16, 1-6, if you want to follow along in your pew Bible, please do. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but Sarah had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." So after Abram had been living in Canaan for 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave Hagar to her husband to be his wife. Abram slept with Hagar, and she conceived. Now the plot thickens. When Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "Now that Hagar knows she is pregnant, she despises me." So Abram said, "Well, do with her whatever you think is best." So Sarai mistreated Hagar until Hagar fled from her and ran into the desert. An angel of the Lord met Hagar by a well in the desert, told her to name her son Ishmael, that he would be a wild donkey of a man, and urges her to go back. Hagar does. About this time, Sarai gets pregnant. Finally. Cue the baby shower announcements and the champagne. Hagar's son is born first. She names him Ishmael, which means God hears. Sarai names her son Isaac, which means laughter. It takes about one hot second before Sarai realizes Ishmael is the oldest male child and therefore has the birthright. So Sarai's jealousy gets the best of her. She demands that Abraham send Hagar and Ishmael away into the desert. So this is where the text gets the name Text of Terror. In one of the saddest scenes in the Bible, Hagar walks into the desert with her small supply of water and food and puts the baby Ishmael under a bush, for she cannot bear to watch him die. The Bible said, God heard the cries of the baby, sent an angel to help her find water, a well in the middle of the wilderness. While Ishmael's line is traced to the start of Islam in the story, let's be honest. This is a terrible story. So what good and wisdom can we mine from this text? The more I dug and dug and prayed and sifted and sorted, as preachers are wont to do, I saw another point to this story. In my mind, there are three theological questions this text raises. The first is, does God hear our prayers and see our struggles? The second is, does God answer our prayers? And the third is, why do some people make it out of the wilderness places and others get stuck? Let's take the questions one by one. Does God hear our prayers and see our struggles? Our story today is unique in that Hagar is the only person in the Hebrew scriptures who names God. Yes, the Egyptian handmaid, the slave girl of Sarah, names God El Rawi, which means the God who sees. And she names her son Ishmael, which means the God who hears, because God heard the baby's cries in the wilderness. So Hagar has answered the first question by naming God. God who sees me and hears me. The second question is, does God answer our prayers? Or, more specifically, the way we ask the question, does God answer our prayers in the exact way we want? C.S. Lewis once said, I pray not because I think it will change God. I pray because it changes me. And Soren Kierkegaard, the famous Danish theologian, put it this way. First, we pray for what we want. If we don't get what we want, then we pray for understanding. When understanding doesn't come, we sit in silence and pray for God's presence. And God's presence carries us through the wilderness places. This is a subtle distinction. Did you see it? I will be honest and tell you, sometimes I have asked God to fix my problems in life, and other times I have asked for God's guidance so that no matter what I face, I will not face it alone. I'm eager to hear how you understand prayer. The final question is, why do some people make it out of the wilderness and others do not? I've been in the wilderness many times in my life, and each time where I dug and clawed my way out was aided by friends and loved ones and support and family. A dear friend, someone who refuses to let you drown or knock yourself out or give up. In addition to friends, for some, medication helps. Personally, I swear by a good therapist. All ministers are encouraged to be in therapy, and it has been a lifeline for me throughout my ministry. Asking for help is not easy. Our kind of people do not like to admit when we need help. We think it's a sign of weakness. Let me be clear. It is not. We all know friends and loved ones who struggle to find their way out of the darkness. So why do some folks traverse the wilderness quickly and others get stuck? I don't pretend to know all the answers, but I do know that in our day and age, the wilderness might be called different names. depression, alcoholism, job loss, divorce, so forth. This I know for sure. People who have a strong support system do better than those who are alone. And it's not just friends we need when we are in trouble. Listening, talking, praying with you, it has been one of the most profound and humbling parts of my ministry over 2 decades, walking alongside you when things are tough, when you struggle to find plan B, or for some of you, plan X or Y or Z. In the final analysis, faith is what pulls us through the hardest times of life. Knowing God sees you. Knowing God hears you. Knowing you are not alone. Knowing you will make it out of the wilderness. For God is in the lost and found business. Haven't you heard? And there is nowhere that we can get lost that God cannot find us. Into the wilderness, God comes over and over and over again to carry us home. I think that's the heart of the gospel. That story is certainly woven throughout the entire scriptures. God is in the lost and found business because God loves us so much. Sometimes we are lost, sometimes we are found. Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, for never giving up on us, even during the times when our prayers have no words, especially during the times when our prayers have no words. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, this morning you have put before us a difficult text, and we try to grapple with what the wilderness has meant in our lives. For some, we have lived there for days or weeks or months. For others of us, we have spent years in the wilderness. We are grateful for the people who have come and found us and carried us back to safety, back to the fold. We are grateful for the angels that you have sent, and we are grateful for your presence in the darkest nights of our souls. Oh God, wherever we find ourselves this morning, we know that you see us and that you hear us. Hear us now as we pray to you from the silence of our souls. And now let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his own disciples to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, church family, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.